You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
Entering the season of Lent, the 40 days before Easter, Christians throughout the world lift high the cross of Jesus Christ. They celebrate not themselves, but Christ. He came in all humility to suffer and die for the sins of the world, only to be raised from the dead by the glory of his Father and to be given a name above every name. After almost 2,000 years of history, the followers of Christ show their reverence for God and also their personal attachment to him by lifting high the cross of Christ so that everyone can see and know and trust that Christ is the only Savior our world will ever have. Standing at the heart of the story of Christ is his cross. It's there, whether people lift it high or not. The cross of Christ is God's invitation to heaven, God's plea to people to see, know, and believe that their own salvation comes to them purely by the grace of God through the cross of Christ. Standing starkly at the crossroads of all of history, beckoning people to the heart of God. Far be it from me to glory, said St. Paul to the Galatians, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. Today we lift high the cross of Christ, as did St. Paul, who stopped boasting about himself and his own accomplishments, and started glorying in the Christ of that cross, now raised from the dead, speaking with stentorian voice. Christ himself called this man and renewed his life through the cross. There was a time when Paul had been Saul the boaster. He beat his chest with his fists and proclaimed to the world, "Look at me, see how powerful I am, see what devastation I can bring to the lives of people. If you want to learn how to control the lives of other people, look at me." Now, having met Christ, having come to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, this Saul had become Paul, the apostle to the nations, bringing to people one great story, that Christ died for our sins as the Scripture said he would, that he was buried, and that he was raised again the third day as the Scripture said he would be. The day Saul met Christ, everything else went out the window, and he became Paul, the apostle to the world. You know what it's like to hear people boast, telling you how good they are, about the great things they have done, and how much better they are than others, every once in a while even giving a nod to God with a little credit for having made them that way. Boasting like that is a sign of weakness. People try to cover up their lack of ability or personality or maybe even of character by blowing their own horn. It doesn't take a lot of wisdom to recognize a man who boasts about himself as just a dented tin can, even though it may be surrounded by a golden sheen. Paul learned that if there is to be any boasting in this world, it will have to give glory to God. God is a good subject for boasting. God does not change. He's always there, especially when you need him. He's always faithful, even when you are unfaithful. He's always caring, even when people don't give a hang for anyone or anything except for themselves. Paul learned to know God through Jesus Christ. Before the great event on the Damascus Road that brought Paul to his knees, that man had a lot of zeal for God. But it was, as he himself said, without knowledge. He did not really know God. That day on the road, he came face to face with Jesus Christ. He heard the voice of Jesus saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" In response to Saul's question, "Who are you, Lord?" came the answer in words that could not be mistaken, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Jesus knew all about persecution. He was persecuted, by political authorities, by the religious authorities, by the adherents of various parties, you might say by the whole power structure of the world. He took it all with that steadfastness which characterized everything he did, everything he said, and even everything he thought. Jesus died on a cross, the ugliest symbol at that time of the most degrading death anyone could possibly have. About 50 years before Christ, the great Roman orator Marcus Tullius Cicero said a respectable Roman ought never even to mention the cross or even think about it. Only rebellious slaves and the worst criminals were nailed to a cross. Victims of the cross were exposed to the burning sun, suffering agonizing thirst, and the cross stood for everything that was shameful, despicable, and disgraceful. To that world and to ours, Paul spoke of one cross that changed everything. Far be it from me to glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? What makes the cross so wonderful? Why is it that people wear crosses of every description today as a witness to where they stand? That cross has become a part of the world scene simply because one man hung there on that cross and gave his life, all uncomplaining, for the life of the world. That cross discloses his wonderful act of redemption, his remarkable sacrifice of himself to atone for the sins of the world, with arms outstretched to embrace the whole world. Lift high the cross. The writer of the Christian hymn used that title, describing the might of Christ's love for the world. Love willing to die at the hands of the world in order to bring that world to the heart of God. Lift high the cross, my friend. It tells of a wonderful love. In this case, not about the love of a man for a woman, the love of a mother for her child, or even the love of a man for his country. The cross of Christ points to the love of God. The love of God, first and foremost, is not your love for him, but his love for you. As John, one of Christ's disciples, said, it's not so much that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be a sacrifice for our sins. The love of God for you is more than you could ever ask for or expect. God does not owe you love, but he loves you anyway. He loves because he is God. Anyone else would take other measures to solve the problems of the world. But God loves. You do not deserve the love of God, and neither do I. We're not fit for God's heaven, either you or I, as long as we are looking out for ourselves without God and without hope in the world. Still, God loves you. God loves me. God loves all of humanity with an everlasting love. People like us nailed the Son of God to his cross. God overruled them. He took the horrible and made it a thing of beauty. The ugliest and most unjust act in human history, God turned into the highest good. The cross of Christ transformed the dictum of the ages, the wages of sin is death, into the greatest paean of praise the world has ever heard. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Human sin has its penalties, some of them pretty horrible. But the love of God pays the price of human sin through the cross of Jesus Christ, God's Son. And with his death upon that cross, not only appealing to human pity and sentimentality, the cross of Christ is a powerful testimony to the love of God, bringing peace to people that passes understanding. Lifting high the cross of Christ, St. John wrote in his first letter, there is no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Lifting high the cross of Christ is the way faith in Christ works. In his book, Winning Through Caring, Matthew Prince tells the story of a rugged mountain man from Tennessee who was game hunting in Alaska when he and his guide were charged by a bear. As the guide began firing, the man froze. The guide's rifle ran out of bullets. The bear was still charging. So the guide wrenched the rifle from his guest's hands and continued shooting. The huge animal dropped finally a few feet away, and the mountaineer began to apologize profusely. His guide said to him, "Don't feel bad. You did just fine." The honest mountain man said, "What do you mean, fine? I froze on you. I was no help at all." The guide responded, "You did just fine. All the rest ran off with their rifles." Lifting high the cross of Christ with newfound love, you discover at the cross of Christ, you do just fine. There's a guide there for you that you might not die. He forgave the thief who asked him simply, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." In the grace of that moment, the glory of God shines forth from the cross of Christ. Is it any wonder that a man named Paul remarked with intelligence and also with great spirit, "Far be it from me to glory, except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." The cross of Christ puts everything in perspective. It tells not only of a wonderful love, but also of a wonderful victory. If ever defeat seemed to be obvious, it was on the hill that day outside Jerusalem. It looked as if the forces of evil had won, but not for long. 3 days later, just as he said it would be, Jesus rose victoriously from that tomb into which his body had been laid. The ultimate triumph belongs to him, and to him alone. Lift high the cross. The victory has been won. Satan may be the ultimate enemy, but he's a defeated enemy. There is hope. The evil impulses of humanity are an awful reality, and the forces driving humanity to its own destruction appear to be taking on new strength all the time. But Jesus is Lord and always will be Lord because of the victory of his cross. In a world rushing to its own destruction, Jesus dying on a cross gives a new perspective. People rush along, not realizing that they are preparing their own crosses, which will benefit no one. Indeed, those crosses are the ones upon which people die in the ultimate demonstration of their own powerlessness, their own inability to save themselves. Walk through a cemetery someday and notice how many people died young, like the infants who did not survive the flu epidemic in 1918. Others, you may observe, lived no longer than the age where you are right now. Your time is coming. So is mine. Is there anything that will give meaning to this long procession that turns into rows of tombstones? Only the cross of Christ. In that cross, the meaning becomes clear. He died there for us all, that those who live with him in faith might no longer live unto themselves alone, going around bragging about their mostly futile accomplishments, but rather for him who for their sakes died and rose again. Lift high the cross of Christ. It introduces you to life, new life that never will end. Lift high the cross. It's God's signpost for your own journey. Lift high the cross. It's God's invitation to you and to everyone like you, pointing you and others to the destination he has in mind for all who truly love him and look for the day of the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lift high the cross with forgiving love, like the forgiving love of God. Lift high the cross, putting things that are seen into their place because they are temporal, and holding forth the things that are not seen because they are eternal. Lift high the cross of Christ, living your life freely and gloriously in the light of his redemption instead of being crucified by the world, knowing that all the time the world has been crucified to you in the love of Christ. And you've been crucified to the world, helping to save the world rather than participating in its destruction. One more thing. Lift high the cross, because there your sins have been forgiven. God buries your sin in the depths of the sea, which boasts this sign: no fishing here. Lift high the cross, the sign of God to you and to the whole world, a witness to love and to victory. From beginning to end, his offer of salvation is true and free. O Lord, once lifted on the glorious tree, raise us and let your cross the magnet be. Lift high the cross, the love of Christ proclaim, till all the world adore his sacred name. So shall our song of triumph ever be. Praise to the crucified for victory. Amen.